Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. The program that we use and utilize here is talking about some down-to-earth things. We're talking about practical applications of what we have been given. We have faith, and we must have faith in ourselves. We must have faith in our God, because we understand that God did not make an inferior product. Sure, there may be people that are going through difficulties, but I think there is a reason for that. And I have worked from time to time with handicapped kids, and I think it gives us an appreciation of what we have. Sometimes we have to contrast it with other things that we see in our lives. And we see sometimes the progress, the tremendous amount of progress that goes into working with kids that may have difficulties that sometimes it is difficult to imagine them being a blessing. But to see a look on their face of appreciation. And yes, I realize some don't have that look very often, but it gives us an ability to give to something that we are deeply involved in. Most of you don't have to go through that, and there is praise there. But I see it in other forms because I see people that grow up and may have difficulties. I've talked to you about my grandson or grandsons, and I love them all. Some of them have one that is more challenged to the other, but he serves as an inspiration to me because I see what he is able to do. His mind is clear. His body doesn't always function. He had a spinal cord injury. I am so thankful that he has others to be here. I see the contributions that they are making. They're making to the world. Now, I want to incorporate in that something that touched me very much today. As you know, I do a blog post and post on Thursdays. Today is Thursday. And I posted about Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller. We sometimes don't understand that people that go through and develop successful careers, that develop much of what we have to be thankful for, did not get that handed to them. They often had to work. They often had to struggle. They had to go through many of the things that we have to go through in order to achieve them. Now, what is surprising to me about Dr. Fuller? He and I attended the same school, the same college. I never knew it until doing research. Now, one of the things that we have to be careful of now, most of our nation, a great deal of our nation, is under heat advisory. And I want you to be very, very careful in how you conduct your business during times like this. Earlier in the year, even while it was hot, I went through a period where I did not have air conditioning. The conditioner was there, but I had to make arrangements to have it fixed. And I made changes to my schedule that helped me. Those changes were simple, but they were ones that I lived with as a child, because we didn't have air conditioning when I was a child. But we did have a window fan, and it had pretty good volume. And when the sun would start down, we would open the windows on one side of the house, suck air through and out the other side, and that air was cool. And that provided some air conditioning during the day because the house was well insulated. We sometimes think that insulation only works when it's cold outside, but it also works when it's warm. We have people in other countries. They have opal mines, and I think it's Australia. And many of these people basically live underground. And it's cooler down there. I'm not going to tell you to dig a hole in the ground and go down there now. But we see applications of that taking place many times. We see water furnaces, and what they do is they take water and run it through underground tubes, and it maintains almost a steady temperature year-round. When we go into many of the larger caves in this country, many times we find that the temperature only varies 2 degrees from summer to winter because of the insulation and the heat that the earth has. We make do with what we have. We are problem solvers, those of us on the road to success. Now, sometimes it's difficult to see what a problem solver is. That may be, and I've run across this, I was recently talking to a person that is a poet. And poetry brings clarity. It brings inspiration. It brings joy to people. Some people like it and some people don't. Everybody is not going to like everything. There are some foods that people just absolutely adore, and the person next to them may not like it at all. I have some foods like that because I was raised up on them. The thought of it does not bother me, and on some people it does. We have situations where some people eat meat, some don't. Both can be healthy. What we have to be careful of is the amount of salt that we use. And in this particular condition that we're going through now with all of the heat, we have to be careful. We need salt, but we don't need tons and tons of it. We have to watch ourselves. We have to stay hydrated. What does that have to do with success? Because in order for a car to perform, it needs to be optimized. It needs to be in its best running condition. And so do you. So do I. We have to maintain that. Sometimes it requires a change of schedule. Sometimes it may even require a change of location. Right now, with it being so hot, some of us are cranking up the air as high as it will go. And guess what? We're going to have to pay that bill. But there are other things that we can sometimes do to minimize that. There are some of you that could and should be going to the library, for example. What do you do in the library? Well, you can read. But there are many other things that take place in the library. If you look when you go in, see what other programs they have. They may be having a program teaching you how to do a skill that you need. If they don't, ask about it. Sometimes they can refer you to someone else. I did this. I had a class I took on podcasting right there in the library. It met, I don't know how many times, it wasn't an ungodly number of times, but I learned some things there. I didn't have to utilize all of them because fortunately I have a platform that I'm using now. At some point in the future, I may decide to branch out and do more and better things. But understand, while the library is cool, there are more things there besides reading. You can also run into other people with like interest. I spoke earlier about the poet. Person may run into a person that writes prose, literature, and they may be able to share some ideas. They may be able to share some concepts. They may be able to help each other in their work, although it is different. It doesn't have to be identical in order to help people. This may be a time when you can connect with other people. During the summers, we have kids that have not been in school for a month or two, almost three, and they may need some help, some tutoring. Many times that can sharpen you because you see what's working, you see what's not working. You see the types of questions that people ask. And when you are blessing someone else, guess what? You are blessing yourself. You're blessing yourself by being able to feel good about yourself. You're able to feel good about what you do. Now, it may be something as simple as reading a book to a child. Well, you read a book and you think that's the end of it. The excitement that you have while reading this book, the time that you took, may be such a positive influence on that child that they learn to read, that they learn to do better. The questions that they ask when it comes to other things, it may even be something that you're working on. Oftentimes, hearing that question can spur you on to greater heights as you try to understand it. If you don't understand it, you can't explain it. If you can explain it to a child, you can explain it to almost anyone. It can get more complex. But if you understand the simplest fractions, the least common denominators in what you are working on and what you're doing and what you're explaining, then you're getting an understanding of the subject matter. I have been working on complex problems and thought that I understood any and everything there was to know about that problem. Time to explain it to someone else, and that person could be very knowledgeable, but they have questions. They ask questions. They give suggestions. It may not be all even, but it works. This is how you plant yourself in an area of success. You may have ideas that you can bounce off of other people. I've gone to book readings where an author comes in and discusses the book. And I have read the book. Hopefully you read the book, because then you know what people are talking about. You can understand the questions that they're asking. And people will say, why did you do this? Could you have done this? It is an eye-opening experience because you begin to see how other people react to the work. You may have a question, but somebody else may have a different question. It may trigger something in you that is extremely helpful. I've talked about people that get together, successful-minded people. And this is, again, an opportunity to do just that, to be around successful people. You don't have to spend every minute of every day there. But some of you are putting additional stress on yourself. Stress. You may go out every Thursday and mow the lawn, but you find out today that, man, it's hot outside. I can't do it, or I shouldn't do it. Now, we have a thing that you don't want to cut it while it's wet, there's dew on it, but you may be able to go out and cut part of it and then put that aside and do something else and may go back in the evening or the next day and do some. To some people, that is difficult to do, because we get ourselves into a task manager situation, and we've got to do it and got to do it now. That's worked. And in normal times, it continues to work. But does it work all the time? Sometimes that variance in our schedule may be just what we needed. Right now, there are two movies in the theaters. Maybe watching one of them may be the thing that it takes to sharpen your imagination. Now, these movies, the two that I'm thinking of that are present today, that are blockbusters, are Barbie and Oppenheimer. Believe it or not, I have a connection to both. Because Kitty Black Perkins, one of the chief designers of Barbie's clothes, is from my hometown. I wouldn't have known this if I had stuck strictly to history books. But I have been looking for a relative of hers, anyone, just so that I can get a feel of what she was like. I'd like to do an article on her, a post on her. And I have read some information about her. But this shows you that history doesn't happen far, far away. It sometimes happens right where you are. In our Toastmasters meeting on Monday, I am Toastmaster of the day. And my subject for the theme for the meeting is, where does history happen? Where does history happen? My belief was that history happens somewhere else, a different time, a different era, and has nothing to do with me, absolutely nothing, and how wrong I was. But it took me decades and 3,000 miles to find out that particular fact. Because what I found out was in California, and I never thought that I would ever get to California as a kid. I had fantasies growing up. I had fantasies about being in the West, being a cowboy. But I never saw one on television. I never saw a black cowboy on television. I'm black. What happened? Did we get stopped at the Mississippi River and not get to go forward? I didn't realize that one of the heroes that I was watching was a portrayal of a black man. Bass Reeves, the first marshal west of the Mississippi, was portrayed on TV every week. But I didn't know it because the actor portraying him was white. I still held him in high esteem, but it was something different when I found out absolutely who he was, because I was able to see the integrity in that man. That man was on TV as the Lone Ranger. And there's so many parallels between him and Bass Reeves, because he was always with his Native American companion, Tonto. And what we find is that in Oklahoma, which was no man's land, law was enforced by the marshals from Fort Smith, Arkansas. Bass Reeves, Fort Smith, Arkansas. The people that wrote the story of the Lone Ranger lived near Fort Smith, Arkansas. Bass Reeves spoke three of the five languages or dialects of the five civilized tribes. He used a lot of masks. I mean, a lot of disguises. There are so many parallels there. But the harm that came about this was not in being influenced, but in knowing that I could have had an influence as well. When we look at what is taking place around us, sometimes we don't see ourselves in the picture. Now, let me get back to my post that I put up today, and we're going to discuss this on Sunday on another program, Did You Know?, that will come on at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. And it is about Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller. Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller. Remember during my life, although there were doctors in my life, in fact, I was one house away from a doctor. His brother was a doctor. He He had another relative that was a doctor. That pretty much summed up most of the doctors that were in this town. And this was a pretty good-sized town. But I did not understand the difficulties necessary to achieve this. But what I found out is I went to Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. And it was only a few days ago that I learned about Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller. Born in America, his parents went to Liberia, which is a country in Africa. Now, don't let people fool you. Africa is about three times the size of the United States, and there's over 50 countries on the continent of Africa. But they don't talk to us about that. They don't talk to us about the advances in civilization that took there, that took place there. They didn't tell us that the ancient Romans and Greeks sent their scholars to Africa to learn. That basically we exported life, study, intelligence to other parts of the world. Yeah, it develops. But what I'm saying is many of us are left with a hollow feeling, not knowing what we have done. We come back to Dr. Fuller. His father was a doctor, and his grandfather was in the medical profession. He decided to pursue a career in medicine, attended Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. I didn't know enough about most colleges, but I knew that people from my hometown went to that one a lot. I couldn't go in my hometown because the schools weren't integrated at that time. We had Wofford College, we had Converse, and there were a few others scattered around the area. But I knew deep in my heart that it was a waste of time to try to get into Wofford. Wofford was all male, Converse was all female. Wasn't going to try Converse, but Wofford was just as bad. In fact, I got an application. I wrote them, got an application. And an undergrad, when I was in high school, was the first black to attend Wofford. I didn't know how close I was. I could have been there. But what we find with Dr. Fuller is that he pursued his dreams. He went on to medical school and became a medical doctor, became the first black psychiatrist in the United States of America. Now, we have a few now, but very few, because most of them don't see that as a viable occupation. How many of you know of a black psychiatrist? There's a difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist is also a medical doctor. And what Dr. Fuller had done, he had been handpicked by a doctor to continue his research. That doctor that reached out to him, Dr. Alois, A-L-O-I-S, Alzheimer. And Dr. Fuller was making tremendous progress. We talk about the tangles in the brain. He knew about them because he could also perform autopsies. It was closely related to work that he was doing. What would it be like if we did not have to suffer the ravages of Alzheimer's today? And there is good reason to believe that we could be decades down the road of doing this, because as I indicated, Dr. Fuller was doing research on it. It's amazing what he knew. Now, why is this so amazing? Dr. Fuller was born in the 1800s. 1800s, not the 1900s, the 1800s. He completed a medical doctor degree. He went on and got his psychiatry credentials. This is what is possible. And when we look at the road to success, Your goals may not be the same as his. Yours may be like Famous Amos, making cookies that bring joy to people around the world. When we look at Beatrice Foods, a billion-dollar corporation, black-owned, we see what takes place. When we look at Maggie Lena Walker from Richmond, Virginia, the first woman of any race in America to charter and operate a bank. Do we know that? No, we don't. So we look at our dreams. We look at our ambitions and say, it can't happen. But guess what? It's already happened. It can be done, and it can be done again. We have to put together the right team sometimes. She didn't do it single-handedly, but she oversaw the operation that did this. There was a penny savings club, a nickel saving club, or something, what we would consider a small amount, and made a successful operation. But we find that many obstacles are placed in her path. Did she fold up her tent and move on? No, she did not. But she persisted. We have more tools today than she did at that time. We can do it. We just can't let Bozo down the street destroy our dreams. We can't do that. I was looking at someone else today, and they have a very successful lawn care business. Oh, I don't want to do lawn care. Why am I going to be cutting somebody's grass? There are people that make an enormous amount of money cutting grass, and we have to look at it. We have to be innovative. We talk about, and I was listening to a program. I don't listen. Everything I listen to is not educational. It's not Black history. It's in some way geared to success. But they were talking about Black hockey players. Grant Fuhr was a great player. There have been others. From 1895 to 1925, there was a Negro Hockey League that operated out of Nova Scotia. Lots of Blacks were in Nova Scotia because they went there to escape the ravages of slavery. We no longer have to do that. But when we look at the advances that have been made, I am not one of these that think that baseball is so much better because we no longer have the Negro Hockey League. In fact, I think baseball would be a better game if we had the Negro Leagues and got rid of major leagues because they were geared to entertainment, entertaining. They had great players. Why then was Jackie Robinson chosen to be the player to integrate? Jackie Robinson was court-martialed when he was in the Army because he refused to go to the back of the bus, Army bus. We have people that were given bad conduct reports because when they would be given leave to go to town, many times as it's getting late in the evening, cops and others would force Black soldiers off the bus, therefore missing curfew, or whatever it's called in the military, getting back. Preference was given to someone else. We can and should remedy those problems. The person that may be our leader may be the person that remedies that problem. We were granted the right to peaceful demonstrations, and we can certainly do them again. Martin Luther King was a minister, but he was called upon by the people of Montgomery to lead them in their bus boycott, to lead them. Young man, he can't say, well, I don't know a lot of people here, because he did not. But he knew that God had called him for that task. Did he say, no, God, give me some more experience and I'll come up there and do it? No, he said, I'll do it. But I want you to be with me. Martin, I'm always with you. Take the challenge. We see Dr. Warnock now in the same position, a leader. We are waiting on someone to come lead us when we are that leader that everybody is waiting on. We have to put our faith in ourselves. We have to put our faith in God. We have to put our faith in working diligently to come up with these things. Martin Luther King was a great student, and that led him. But I'm sure that he spent many hours in prayer. He spent many hours in reflection. He spent many hours consulting with great leaders. He spent time with Gandhi and others. And we just have to understand that we are called, whether that calling is to teach a kid in kindergarten, whether that's an able-bodied person or whether it's not, calling that you have. We see that Helen Keller, deaf and blind, was able to succeed. We see Harbin Gurma, who I posted on AmazingBlackHistory.com, who is both deaf and blind and graduated and is with a law degree, with honors. And there are those of us around that say, well, I can't do it. Yeah, you can't do it because you don't try. Yeah, I'm getting on you. I get on myself sometimes the same way. But I don't put so much stuff on me that I can't get out from under it. There are times when we need to be reflective of who we are, the talents that we have, what we have been given, and what we can do with what we have been given. We can also ask. Ask and it shall be open to you. Does that mean that you just run up to a door and say, open, it's me? No. It may take a little bit more work than that. But is it worth it? Yes, it is worth it. And you can do it. We get these inspirations. We can't go around using can't, I can't do it. When I talked to you about Wendell Scott, a race driver, a black race car driver, a man of modest means, who competed with people that had high dollar backing. How did he do it? Very simple. You didn't come around him saying it can't be done, or he would physically throw your body out of his shop. That shows you how much negativity is worth. Worth nothing. It drags you down. You have friends that sometimes when they come around, oh, you smile when you see them. But after 2 or 3 minutes, you're ready for them to be gone because they're not contributing anything to getting your work done. I'm not saying don't contact them. I'm not saying don't ever be around them. But understand what they are doing to you, dragging you down. We can't afford that luxury. We cannot afford that luxury. There are times, my father was talking to me about recruiting people for Christ. And he said, sometimes people are just not ready. And what you have to do is you have to live a life. They see and they want to know the secret of what you are doing. That to me is very, very reflective. You're there when they need them. But if you hound them to death, you're doing that. You chase them away. And they're twice as shy about picking it up again. We don't want to do that. And we want to be aware that when somebody does join the church, that is probably less difficult than the first periods of time after they have joined, because they're around their same friends. They're around the negative. They're around those things that got them where they were in the first place. They need help. They need encouragement. Our children need it. When we take our children and say, you knucklehead, you'll never learn this, that is putting a curse on them. When we do it to adults, that's putting a curse on them. When you watch an animal trainer, what do? They reward the animals when they do what we want them to do. They reward them. They're not always beating them down. You don't see anybody taking a whip and a whatever and just beating them. Yeah, in the old days we used to have the whip, but they still were being rewarded when they did things right. This is what our life should be about. Should be dedicating and leading people in the right direction. If you're a minister, live a life that other people want to know your secret. That's how we attract people. We can't do it being down on our wife, our children, and other people. Doesn't mean that you can't be firm. We need to also learn to have high expectations, and people will live up to them. Low expectations, and people, that's all they're going to grow. That is all that they will grow. It's a happy mix. I sometimes hear people talk about, spare the rod and spoil the child. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I think they have the picture wrong. They only think that the rod can come down and beat somebody. Beat somebody. But if you watch a gentle shepherd, he can take that stick and change the direction of the herd. Change it. Also gently, but so loving. And get the same results done. You don't take that and beat people with it. You take it and lead them with it. You have skills. You can do that. Where else can you apply your skills? Does your church have a Sunday school? Do they have a summer school? Maybe you can teach kids how to put together a model car, a model airplane, or some other trick, not necessarily a trick, but some other skill that may serve them later in life. I used to put models together, and as I got better, I got more complicated models, more and more complicated. That was good exercise for me. I learned a lot doing it. It was not the hot spot of my life. It was a high point in my life. And if we were in our same house, I'd probably still have some of those things there. But we suffered a loss of many items in a flood, and we lost many items in moving. But I still have fond memories of those things. Guiding a kid. And then to have a kid come up to you later and repeat something that you've told them. I remember talking to a science class one time, and it was about the time that we had a full eclipse here. And I said, I've done something that most of you have not done at this point. I've seen 2 total eclipses of the sun. A year or 2 later, kid comes up to me and he's talking about he was in that class. And he remembered that. He remembered that. We make impressions on people by how we act, and that should be good. It should be positive, and that's what we do. Now, again, when we are talking about the heat, the oppressive heat that we have here, it may require changes. When I talked about going to the movie, sometimes we're sitting around the house and all we're doing is just grumbling and grumbling and grumbling. But we could go to see a movie. Barbie doesn't hold a particular interest to me except for the fact of some research that I'm doing. One, I told you about Kitty Black Perkins, who is from my hometown and was a chief designer for Barbie's clothes. A chief designer. You'd think people around here would know that, but we don't. There are people that I went to school with that could have been chief designers for her clothes. They had an eye for fashion. Nothing wrong with that. We have people that are coming out now with sustainable clothing made from bamboo and other products. Many times they go to Africa and have people there employed making garments. We think that a piece of clothing is a piece of clothing, but it may be a way of life for somebody else. It may be the source of what allows them to send their daughter to school. And I say daughter because in some cases the men get to go to school, but the women don't. Men get to go, but women don't. And there are some amazing, amazing women. While I talk about Dr. Fuller this week, next week we're going to talk about a lady who helped start cancer research. Again, a black female in a male-dominated society. Out of the seven people that started, she was the only woman. Out of the seven people that started the group, she was the only black. Did that hold her back? No. But what we have to realize is that as a positive role model that we should all know, because she can influence girls of all races. She can influence men of all races. We see handicaps, and we know that we overcome handicaps with God's blessings, with faith in the Almighty, that he has given us the tenacity, the ability to do what is necessary. Can I make an electrical appliance? Sometimes I don't think so, but it's entirely possible. It's entirely possible because we have an idea. And as we go about trying to get this idea to life, we sometimes find people along the way that willingly or unwillingly are aids to us. They help us get it done. Most of us know what a weed eater is, a weed whacker, or whatever it's called. But when they first were started, it was a pop can with strings hanging out of it. Ugly as sin. But as we progressed, it became more and more normal looking. So today we know what we're looking at. If you saw that first one, you'd think, what the heck is that thing? They don't always come out that way. The GoPro, which was all the rage a few years ago, I think they still make them. But the guy that started that company, a very successful company, started by selling seashells out of his van. Sometimes we have to take intermediate steps to get where we want to be. Intermediate steps to get where we want to be. When I look at a person at McDonald's, I don't see a person that couldn't get a better job. I see a person that is taking steps to become better. I look at those people that are doing this so that they can provide food for their families. I look at it as a person that is working to make sure that they can go to school, that they can become a doctor like Dr. Fuller or someone else. They can pursue what they want to. Dr. Fuller died from complications of diabetes. My classmate at Livingstone College is Dr. James Raphael Gavin III, who is a leading person in the area of diabetes. Why? Because his grandmother, who he loved so much, lost her leg and eventually her life to the complications of diabetes. In those days, it was called sugar. Sugar seems benign, as if it can't do anything. But we sometimes don't understand how serious a condition is. We have people listening to me right now that probably suffer from it and are as backwards in taking care of themselves as you can imagine a person being. Backward, because they don't take the time to maintain their health. Realize that God put you on this earth for a purpose. Difficulties, you may have them. What we learn from you may help somebody else. All there. Somebody may be inspired by the fact that you don't give up on life. You continue to pursue it. Dr. Gavin probably could have saved Dr. Fuller. Why don't we know more about Fuller? For one, he was black, and he had difficulty getting funding for his projects. Does that mean that you should stop? No. He was paid less than his lesser qualified white colleagues. Less. It was a common thing. But when we get to the point where we have control of some of these operations, we can do better. Don't sit there and let the world pass you by when you could have been instrumental in making a change. Just like Martin Luther King, when called upon, he stood up. We spend too much time trying to fit in when we should be spending that time standing up, leading people, leading people. We have church leaders who do that. But that church is open a few hours each week. There are things that we can do the other hours of our week, 168 hours in a week. 168. Yes, it takes study to put together a good presentation, but there are other things that we can do. Churches can teach people literacy, financial literacy, reading, engaging in other activities. Well-rounded. We have seniors. We could be teaching them computers. We could be teaching them all manner of class, how to take care of their health, for example. How many churches have classes in how to take care of diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertension? We could do that. Is that where your calling is? It's not always a matter of what one thing you're going to do, but what thing are you going to do first? We serve our fellow man. We have the Good Samaritan that helped others, that helped their neighbor. I used to spend countless hours trying to figure out why are there two Jesuses? Why are there two? Because what I taught is not what I see that guy doing. All I can do is take what I know and use it to the best of my ability, to the best of my ability, and hope that that guy sees something and begins to change. We do it. We do it every day. We don't have to be solving a disease to be a contributing member of our society. What if you were a mechanic and you know that older people sometimes have difficulty with their cars, prevents you from fixing cars of older people? There's a guy in South Carolina, I can't remember his name, he's in the low country. But that's what he does. He has a business, but in his spare time, he repairs cars and gives them away. Gives them away. The appreciation that he gets for doing that is enormous. He's doing something that he likes. He's doing something that benefits others. What is there a better thing that you can do? Don't overlook your skills. Overlook how you can utilize them, because you can. We just have to be innovative. We are problem solvers, people. We're problem solvers. Now, if Dr. Fuller had been allowed to pursue his work, and we would be several decades ahead of our time, because I think Dr. Fuller died in 1914, if I'm not mistaken. That's a long time ago. We act like we just discovered this thing just recently. We didn't. Dr. Alois Alzheimer identified the disease, was working on it, and picked Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller to do it. Black boy from Africa, born in America, went to Africa, because what was taking place then is freed slaves, those that had never been enslaved, went to the continent of Africa, Liberia, to start a new country. I mean, that may be something else we do. We look around our neighborhoods. How many rundown houses do we have? Don't we have people in our congregations that could spend some time each week helping restore these? And once we see the pride that comes to a neighborhood, it's contagious. It spreads. We're in the pickle that we're in now because the federal government drew red lines on maps and said, if they are in this area, don't loan them money to buy a house. Don't loan them money to fix up a house. We can change that. Congregations. And what do? The first thing we do is run down to a bank that cares little about us. One United out of Georgia, it's a nationwide bank. But they are working to empower people like us with our money. We need to look at those that will help us. They don't have to be black, but we need to do business with those people that are willing to help us, whatever it is that we are attempting to do. I want to make sure, and I did it again. I was going to give you the number, but I want to give you this number again. I want you to write it down. I want you to put it in your phone or whatever. And that number is 646-668-8217. The reason that I do that is many people are listening to us on their devices, may even be their cell phone. But if you're on with an internet connection, I cannot see you on my dashboard. I cannot open your microphone and communicate with you. I don't have that luxury when you're there. Many times you have questions. Sometimes you have suggestions. Suggestions often make the program better. If you have a question, I can almost guarantee you that 10 other people out there have the same question. But they don't have the fortitude. They don't have the leadership that you have to say, answer this question for me. Answer this question for me. God is a great God who has given us the ability to solve problems. And it is that belief in ourselves. It's a belief in God. It's a belief that he made us the same as he made everybody else. He didn't do a second run of inferior product. We have that, but we must maintain that faith. This is why we pass on stories such as Dr. Fuller, who graduated from Livingstone College and was a leading researcher in Alzheimer's. And this was back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, who could have advanced us to the point where we don't have to watch our loved ones go through this. You may be able to do something. Maybe it's a fundraiser. Maybe it's something else. But we cannot afford to sit around believing that it's going to be put in our lap. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and I do hope that there are younger people listening to us, I want to challenge you to invite three people to join us next week. More, if you're a gooder person. Yeah, I make up words, too, from time to time. But I want to get off in time to allow Deacon Armstrong to come on his program and do that promptly at 8 o'clock. Great program. On Crown Talking Drums, we have many programs that come on many days of the week. And I want you to check that schedule. Check it frequently. Find those that touch you and enjoy them. Share them. And let us build a community around the world. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. And that success is whatever we determine that we want it to be. Whether it is making cookies for the entertainment and pleasure of people, whether we're doing something to improve the health of people, whether it's something just to make the world look better, whether it's just to share a friendship, that's what we do. We are that community. And I want you to check. There's a program that comes on prior to me, Apostle Willie Ann Miller. Great program. We've got great programs on Crown Talking Drums, and I want Deacon Armstrong to be able to come on time. It is the high point of my week to join you here, to join you Sunday at 4 p.m. as we do what we can to make this community, this nation, these listeners better. God bless you, my friends. God bless you. And my name is John C. Abercrombie, the host of Faith on the Road to Success. Join us Sunday on Did You Know? And we'll continue the discussion of Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller, a researcher second to none, a graduate of Livingstone College. And I'll do that. I don't want to with Deacon Armstrong's program. You be blessed, my friends. Be blessed. Thank you for listening.